John 15, and tonight we'll be beginning in verse 18. Finish up this chapter. The Bible says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Lord, again, we just ask for your help tonight. Help me to preach it, and help us all to be changed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, I spoke about the fact that most people want to have peace and comfort in their lives. That most people, though some don't always fit this description, most people don't enjoy turmoil. Some seem to enjoy it, some seem to live for it, but most people don't. Most people want peace and comfort in their lives. Now, part of that mentality, when we want peace and comfort, there's another thing that goes along with that, and that is a desire to get along with others. Most people like to get along with other people and kind of have things to flow relatively smoothly. You do have people who just like to stir up things with their neighbors, but a lot of people, though they might not be real friendly with those around them, a lot of people, the path that they choose is, I leave you alone, you leave me alone. Okay, I won't bother you, you don't bother me. We know that's not all-encompassing, but there seems to be this attitude of people just wanting to be kind of left alone. The problem is they want to be left alone to do their own thing, and a lot of the things that people want to do, you can't be at peace with other people and have peace and comfort when you're doing those things you want to do, because they affect more people than just yourselves, and then we get into a big snowball of a problem. It seems as though a lot of people want to be liked and accepted. Liked and accepted. Think about that. When you were a kid and you went to school and you were making friends, you liked it when a group of kids invited you to come and play with them or invited you to be on the ball team or whatever. People like to be liked and accepted. Come along with us. Let's hang out with us. Let's have fun together. People seem to enjoy that. The problem is that man wants to be liked and accepted by the world and for the wrong things and the wrong reasons rather than being liked and accepted by Jesus Christ, who's the only one whose acceptance matters. You see, that's the problem, is that people, they want to be accepted, they want to be liked. This is the drive behind people that have some measure of popularity. Okay, there was a time when people did things that they did. They played a sport, or they went into the field of music or something like that, because they just enjoyed it, and it wasn't so much about money. It wasn't so much about fame and things like that. They enjoyed it, and then if they could make money, but then you also have people who it's all about money and fame. If I can do that, people will see me. People will know me. People will like me. I'll be popular. I'll be well known. It's something how, and my boys and I have talked about this, it's something how people who are in some form of maybe entertainment or sports or something like that, who have a lot of fans and they're well liked, but they don't have any time for those people who buy the tickets and buy the albums and buy the merchandise and made all their money for them, but they don't have time to bother with those little people, as they would call them. They want to be known, they want to be seen, they want to be recognized, they want to be famous, they want to be popular, but they don't want to be bothered with the people who helped them to get there. But there is a drive in the world today. There's a drive to be accepted and to be known and be popular, and people want others to look upon them. And as I said, the problem is that they want to be liked and they want to be accepted by the world. And they don't give any thought to what Christ says about them, what Christ thinks about them. Are you accepted in the Beloved, as the Bible says? And His acceptance is all that matters. You see, one day every one of us is going to stand before Him, and it won't matter how many fans or admirers you had. It won't matter how many people liked you on Facebook or followed you on Twitter or social media. It won't matter. You can have a list a mile long. If you're not accepted in the Beloved, you're spending eternity in hell. So the only thing that matters is, does Christ accept us? There are terms that people use whenever they're witnessing, and there are terms that we should not use. We should not, when we tell people how to be saved, we should not encourage people to ask Jesus into their heart. That's not biblical salvation. We're never told in the Bible to ask Jesus in. That's not salvation. The Holy Spirit, does He abide in us? Yes. Does Christ through the Holy Spirit abide us? Does Christ say He'll be in us? Yes. But salvation is not ask Jesus to come into your heart. Salvation is repentance toward God and putting your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin and the saving of your soul. Then the Holy Spirit can come into you and dwell in you, okay? But there are terms that people use. I say that to say this. There's another term people say, have you accepted Christ? That might not be as bad, because in a way we can kind of think of it like I was saying in Sunday school. He's made the payment. Have you accepted the payment and had it applied to your account? That one might not be as bad. The only problem with that term, accepting Christ, it sometimes, if you're not careful, it kind of makes it sound like He needs our approval. Like He needs our stamp of approval. We need to accept Him. What happens at salvation is when we get saved, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, and then the Father can accept us. He accepts us, like I said, accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted of God because of what Jesus Christ did. That's what we need to be concerned with. Not, have I accepted Christ? Have I put my faith and trust in Christ so that God the Father will now accept me through Jesus Christ? Okay? That's biblical salvation. But there seems to be very little concern with what God's going to say. Are we going to be accepted by God? If we're in Christ Jesus, we already are. If not, we're not accepted. We need to be in Him to be accepted. Though it ought not be the case, this attitude is often found among believers, or at least those who would profess to be believers. Many have traded the truth of God's Word for rest, ease, and acceptance with the world. They would rather, they won't witness because they're worried about what man will think. They won't live for God because they might be persecuted. And so they would rather get along with the world. They would rather get along with carnal Christians. They would rather get along with the people at work or the people at school or the people in the family who aren't saved, those that aren't saved. They would rather get along with those people so that they can kind of float along and not have any problems. They'd rather do that than to live a life that's pleasing unto Jesus Christ. For the same reason, they won't stand up for God's Word. They would rather please men than to please God. Galatians 1:10, Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men," listen, "I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul said, if I'm trying to please men, then I'm not the servant of Christ. You know why? Because there's a dividing line between God and the world, and you can't be right with one and please the other. You can't be right with God and the world. You can't be in with the world and right with God. There has to be a distinction. It's one side or the other. There's an old saying, you can't straddle the fence. I grew up on a farm. You get hurt fast straddling a fence. You get hurt playing around. You don't play around on fences. They're not very sturdy. They won't hold you up very well. You can't balance on them very well. They're really thin. And if you've got one leg on one side, one on the other, it's just a matter of time before you're going to tumble off one side or the other. And that's that old saying, that's where that comes from. You can't straddle the fence. It's not stable. You got to pick one side or the other. Get on one side of the fence or the other. Okay? I think what we have sometimes in Christianity is we have a believer who will get on one side of the fence, but then after a while, they try to reach through the slats. I'm going to reach through there and get a little bit of what was over on the other side. The problem with that is so often it's a blind grab. It's like reaching through the bushes. We don't know what's in there. But Paul said, we can't please men and be the servant of Christ. James in James 4:4 said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So that's really all we need to hear to settle the matter. Can I be a born-again believer and live for God and serve God and please God and be who He wants me to be and at the same time get along with the world? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, we'll look at this as we go on. We don't go out looking for trouble. You don't have to. You don't go out trying to find it, and you don't have to. We have to have the right kind of attitude, and we'll see that as we go on. But these verses make it clear that those who look to please man, or they look to please man, they're in a state of opposition with Almighty God. Not a good place to be. Not a good place to be. We'll try to please man. We'll try to do the things that make man happy. It's ruined many a churches. It's ruined many a Christians. When the concern is, are they comfortable? Are they going to like it here? Are they going to enjoy their experience here at church? You know, that's never crossed my mind as your pastor, and it ought never cross my mind. And if I ever start saying things to you about that sound like they're along those lines, that, well, you know, maybe if we did this, maybe if we did that, they'll like it here more. You set me down, and if I don't get back on track, you throw my sorry hide out and get another one. Because the last thing in the world we're going to do is worry about whether or not lost people or carnal Christians are comfortable and like it at Faith Baptist Church. We're always going to worry about, is God pleased with the work that we're doing? And if we're doing what God wants us to do, then spiritual Christians who want to please God will enjoy it as well. That's all there is to it. Spiritual Christians. And when the preaching gets hard and tough and hurts and we get beat up, people won't say, well, that's mean, I don't like that. They'll say, that's what we need, and let's have it. And they won't get offended and run away. But there is a trend that began so long ago, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. It's had different names through the years. For a while, it was called the seeker-sensitive movement. You've heard me mention that. What can we do to make them comfortable? I have a wonderful little book if you'd like to read it sometime. I believe, Paul Chappell out at Lancaster, I think he wrote it with John Getch. They're both from Lancaster Baptist Church, and it's called The Savior-Sensitive Church. It's just a little mini book. You know, it doesn't take, you can read it in one evening. It's really good, really good. And it talks about how churches have stopped trying to please the Savior, trying to please man and fill up the pews, and how it doesn't work. Let Faith Baptist Church always be a Savior-sensitive church. You know what it all falls under, really? It all falls under, sooner or later, it all falls under ecumenicism. This ecumenical, you know, you have to abandon. The ecumenical movement means when all these different beliefs, all these different churches ignore the differences and ignore the Bible and say, well, let's just get along for the common good. Even though Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay? But this movement of ecumenicism, this ecumenical movement says, well, forget about that. Forget. So then what do you have? You have conferences. You have conferences with Baptists and Methodists and Nazarenes and Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. What's going on here? What's going on here? Well, there is a greater desire to get along with man than there is to please God. You have things, I don't know if it's around. I haven't heard of it in years. I know Brother Dwayne and I have talked about it. I haven't heard of it in a long time, but there was a thing that was really big for men called the Promise Keepers. I don't know if that's, do you know if that's still around? I don't know. A couple years ago, he invited me to go with him, and I said, no, you go alone. I had something else to do, but. Yes, well, yeah. I was going on the walk to Emmaus that weekend. I couldn't go with him. That's what it was. Well, Promise Keepers, that's one of those things. You get people in there of all different denominations, all different beliefs. The walk to Emmaus. It's just a big heretical march, really. It's really all it is. Get all these people of all these different beliefs in there. You know what they're saying? They think they're doing something, but what they're doing is pleasing man. God isn't pleased with those things. God isn't pleased whenever we're unequally yoked with unbelievers because he tells us not to do so. But there is a desire among many people to do that. I want to be comfortable. I want to get along with people. And so the best way for me to get along is just don't say anything. I just won't say anything to them. Well, you know, I told them once. I have no sense in bringing it up again. Why would someone claim to love God and be one of his own and then try to please the world and not please God? They don't add up, do they? They don't line up. Why would anyone adopt the spirit of ecumenicism? Well, the answer lies in the passage that we looked at this morning. Remember Christ said, if we love him, we'll do his commandments. If you're not doing his commandments, something wrong with your love for Christ. You're not abiding in his love. Well, this comes into play here tonight. They don't love God more than they love the world. That's what it all boils down to. They do not love God more than they love the world. Do you mean a Christian can be enamored with the world after being saved? Absolutely. 1 Corinthians. How about 2 Timothy 4:10? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was, at one time, Paul talked about how Demas was his fellow laborer and worked with him and helped him. And then he turns around later on and says, he left me. He loved the world. Wanted the ease of the world. Church, what are we more concerned with? Being at ease and comfortable and having a nice nice go of it here? Or are we more concerned with pleasing our Heavenly Father and living for Jesus Christ? Because after all, He's the one that bought us with His blood. And he's the reason why we're not going to spend eternity in hell. He's redeemed us. What has man done for us? What has man given us? What has man done that would cause me to want to please man more than God? Let's look at just a few of these truths here tonight. The first one in verses 18 and 19 is that we just got to accept it. We just got to realize it. Get used to it, Christ said, we're going to be hated. They're going to hate you. You remember back in the 90s when the whole Rodney King thing happened out in California and the beating and all of that, and it really became a joke. People were joking about it because of what Rodney King said. And he said, what did he say? He said, can't we all just get along? That was everywhere. I remember when I was in school, everybody was saying that, and that was a big thing on the news, and they were talking about Rodney King saying, can't we all get along? You know what? What is it with born-again believers thinking that? The truth of God's word is, no, we can't. We will in heaven because we'll be surrounded with other believers, but here, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. You can't get along with the enemy. So why do people try so hard to do that? It's like these people that bring wild animals that were never meant to be domesticated into their home, and then they try to tame them, and they're surprised when they bite their head off one day. What did you think? That's what lions do. I remember one time I used to work for a... I wish you could have seen this. I worked for a company that sold appliances over in Bloomington. It was a little independent company, sold appliances, and I was a delivery driver. And we went up to this area in Bloomington, and it was a very low-income, run-down, you know, part of town up there. And it was up on this hill, and went up there, and we were taking, I don't know, washing machine or something in there. And I'm telling you, these houses are packed in there. We're not out in the country, all right? It would be just like here on College. It wasn't a lot of room. I don't know how they even got away with it. They had a little bit of a yard, and we get out, and there's this ramshackle chicken wire structure, big rectangle, and it's about to fall over. It's leaning. Inside of it, it has another wired structure made of all different types of wire. You know, there's like a cow panel here, and then some chicken wire here, and it's like whatever kind of wire they could find. Big old cougar walking around in there, in the middle of Bloomington. You know, I'm pushing that washer or whatever it is and washing that thing. Woman comes up, oh, what do you think of my cougar? You want to pet the cougar? I like to hunt. I didn't say it. I was thinking I'd kind of like to shoot it. Wouldn't be that much fun pinned up like that, but never shot a cougar. This is the only chance I'll ever have. Didn't say that to the woman. She said, oh, when he was a baby, he'd roll around on the floor and wrestle with me and everything. I thought, boy, just watch the papers. Watch the papers. Local woman has face eaten off by pet cougar. So people say, oh, I'll domesticate it. I'll bring you. No. It's the same thing when believers say, we can get along with the world. How are you going to do that? How are we going to get along with the world when God's word says that friendship with the world is enmity with Him? That means it puts us at odds with God when we get along with the world. In verses 18, 19, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Oh, hate, is that the right word? You ever seen the way the world treats Christians? Yeah, I'd say it's the right word. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Okay, he says, they'd like you if you were one of theirs. Oh, look, hey. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're going to be hated. It's a fact. We need to get used to it, and Christians need to stop trying to change it. Preach God's word. Stand upon God's word. Proclaim God's word. Do it out of a heart of love and compassion that wants to see people get saved. But it doesn't matter how much love and compassion you have, they're still going to hate you. Those that won't get saved, they're still going to hate you. We have a message that is nothing but love, and it's hated. And it doesn't matter how lovely you are and how much you try to tell people, hey, that's what we're supposed to do. Care about their souls, want to see them get saved, go with a heart of love, go with compassion, tell them how to be saved, and sometimes you're still going to be called hateful. That's hateful. That's mean. I can't believe that you're trying to say there's only one way to heaven. That's hateful. What's hateful about that? Where do you even find emotion in that? There's only one way to be saved. That's so mean. It's the truth. No matter what you do, it's going to be there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecution. If I'm saved and I'm not suffering persecution, this one hurts. This one hurts me every time I think about it. If I'm saved and I'm not suffering persecution, by the authority of that verse, I'm not living godly. Because the verse says that if I live godly in Christ Jesus, I will suffer persecution. So the opposite is true. If I'm not suffering persecution, I'm not living godly. You know why that hurts? Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's why it hurts, because it's true. Boy, why am I not being persecuted? Why don't I have any enemies among the world? You don't have to go out and try to make them. They come naturally. We're not supposed to go out and try to make enemies, but we just have to realize that's how it is once we get saved. They're there. Got any enemies in the world? Got any people that don't like where you stand? Got any people that have a problem with how you live? If the answer is no, then we're not living godly in Christ Jesus according to His Word. Because He said if we were, we'd suffer persecution. Didn't say you might suffer persecution. Didn't say you may suffer persecution. Didn't say there could be some persecution. He said if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. So if I'm not suffering persecution, I'm not living godly. They cannot see Christ in me. I'm not telling them what the Word says. I'm not telling them how to be saved. I'm not telling them what the Bible instructs them to do. So therefore, they're not worried about me. There's no persecution. There has to be. There has to be. In verse 19, Jesus says that the world loves its own. Now, this ought to shake a carnal Christian down to his very core. And let me tell you why. If a person claims to be saved, but the world has no problem with them, the world isn't offended or bothered by them, the world enjoys their company, something is wrong. You say, well, I'm saved, I'm born again, But the world has no problem. The world has no problem with you. You get along with the world. Jesus said in verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. So someone who claims to be born again but gets along with the world, Jesus said the world loves you if you're like them. That's what we just read. He said, I'm a born again believer. Well, why is it that there's never any opposition between you and the world? How can you get along with sinful world? We're not talking about not being nice. We're not talking about not being loving. We're talking about that thing that just comes naturally. Why is there no opposition? Why is there no persecution? Could it be that when the world looks at you, they think they're looking at one of their own? Again, authority of verse 19 there. If you were of the world would love his own. So if a professing believer says, I get along with people, I got all kinds of people who live around me, they're not saved, but we get along and we all the time. We're not talking about just living peaceably. They're never offended, they're never put off by anything that you say. There's nothing that ever kind of rubs them the wrong way. Are you not telling them about how to be saved? Are they not convicted by being around you? Maybe it is that whenever they look at a person like that, they think they're looking at one of their own. It says, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He says, it hates you. Not it might, it hates us. The world hates us. Why is it so many people want to try to get along with the world? Why is it that so many people who proclaim Christianity, profess Christianity, do get along with the world? Well, that's what happens when we're just like the world. That's what happens. We get into this ecumenical, everybody get along, let's all just kind of not offend each other. Well, you know what? One of the worst things that I hear believers say sometimes. They say, well, we just agree to disagree. Compromise is what that means. We just agree to disagree. When you agree to disagree, basically what you're saying is nobody's right, nobody's wrong. It really doesn't matter who's right or wrong. It's okay if you're wrong, but that's what you think. You go to your church, I'll go to mine. Yeah, people are going to do that, but that doesn't mean all of us are right. We're only right if we agree with God's word. To think correctly is to think biblically. Now let me ask you this. Are you having a hard time agreeing with and getting along with God's people? Do you get along with the world but having a hard time getting along with believers and people at church? Look at the word. Somebody's off. Somebody's wrong. I can get along with the world, but then I go to church and I cannot get along with him or her or that one over there. I hope she's not here today. I can't do it. I can't be around them. I hate it whenever they're here. But you can go to work with the lost people and have a great time. Okay? Listen. Look at the word. You're having a hard time getting along with other believers. Look at the word. If there's an issue where you and another believer are butting heads, you're either both wrong when it comes to the word, or one person's right, one person's wrong. Look to the word. If you look to it, say, why are we disputing over this? What's God's word saying? If you find out, hey, we both had it wrong, then let's get in line with this and get along with our own. If you look at it and say, well, brother, you were right. That's what God's word said. I was wrong. I'm going to get in line with God's word, and then you and I will get along again. Why is it that you're not getting along? What's the problem? Turn to Matthew chapter 10 with me, please. Matthew chapter 10. And remember, I said at the beginning of the sermon that there is a desire within a lot of people to get along with other people rather than to get along with God, rather than to please God. They want to please man instead of pleasing God. They want to get along with people instead of getting along with God. We see that. We see that all over the place. And there is this idea, there is this push we have heard for years and years and years and years and years, and it didn't begin in the 60s. It was before that. It just takes on different forms. Peace, peace, peace. I talked about that here recently. By the way, you remember me saying something? This is just very comical. Remember me saying something last week or the week before about the basketball player that changed his name to World Peace so that whenever the announcers would, okay? A couple of you came to me and told me who that was, and that guy who did that was, and I remember this, when Brother John and Sister Penny came to me two different times and pointed this out, and when they said it, I remembered it. I remembered that's who it is, and I remember reading this. It was a guy that played for the Pacers, and there was a big fight during a Pacer game, and this is a guy that ran up into the stands and started beating people up. That's what World Peace did. Well, World Peace just punched an old lady in the face and bounced a basketball off of some little kid's head. World Peace has been fined $30,000 for starting a fight at the... Really, man? Oh. But peace, 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 peace. It just takes different forms. People, you know, you heard it a lot in the 60s, or they tell me you did. I wasn't here yet, but you heard it a lot in the 60s, and you're hearing it today. It just takes on different forms, doesn't it? It never changes. There's always somebody... We got to have world peace. We got to have world peace. We're going to do it this way. In the 60s, it was smoke dope and, you know, all this social unrest and everything. And nowadays, it's, you know, save the whales and the trees is basically. But it's all the same. I was telling my boys the other day, I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but back then they drove VW Bug, now they drive a Prius. I think the Prius is the new VW Bug. I really do. It's always the environmentalist, the hippie kind of, you know, it's just a new face, isn't it? It never goes away. It just changes looks. Now, anybody in here that owns a Prius is going to look for a new church next week. I just know it. It's just a new look, isn't it? It's always peace, 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 peace. How long has this earth been turning? How long have we been here and it hasn't happened? The UN isn't going to do it. No World Council of Churches is going to do it. It hadn't happened yet. We haven't figured it out yet. Why don't we turn our attention on being at peace with our Maker? And then we'll know it's coming one day, but not until He comes back. Wasting their time. But you look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know, when you're trying to be a friend of the world, you're denying the Father, you're denying the Son. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I thought that's what He came for. Isn't that what He came for? He will, when He comes to reign for 1,000 years, He'll come to bring peace on earth. But look what He said. He said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. Jesus said from the very beginning, He said, look, if you follow me, they're going to hate you. There's going to be problems. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Let me go down a road real quick here that I wasn't fully intending to go down, but we need to. Here you have a scenario here, a born-again believer. Got lost family members, or family members who maybe proclaim to be saved but don't live biblically, and there's opposition. And that person decides, well, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just not going to say anything. What are they doing? I would rather get along with mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin. I'd rather have peace with them than to stand up for my Savior who told me there would be some problems and please Him. They're not right. I don't like the way, but I don't say anything. Why not? Why not? Look at what He says. Verse 36. We'll go back to 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother. In law. Now, Christ is not saying, I came to stir you all up and make you hate each other. What Christ is saying is, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. If you're going to serve me, if you're going to follow me, your very family members that don't want to serve me and follow me, you're going to be at odds with them. That's what He's saying. So can you tell me why so many Christians work and work and work to get along and to be at peace with people? We're not talking about, I mean, I know the Bible says that blessed are the peacemakers and we are to live peaceably among men. But what does it say? As much as lieth within you, live peaceably. Okay? So we don't go looking for fights, but we stand up for God's word. Why is it that so many people say, I want to try to do this to please them. I want them to like me. I want them to get along with me. And we sacrifice the word of God. Why don't we stand up for the one who saved us? Why don't we stand up for the one who died for us? Why don't we stand up for Him and His word? And then if there are people who have a problem with that, we say, well, Christ said that's what they were going to do. I hope they get saved and then we won't have that. But we want them to get saved not so that we can get along with them. We want them to get saved so they don't spend eternity in hell. But if they do get saved, then we have that fellowship. Why are we working toward being buddy-buddy with people that Christ said, you're not going to get along with them as long as they reject me? If you go back to John 15, we find in verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus tells us that we should not expect to escape the persecution and hatred of the world. What he's saying to us here in this verse is, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Why would the servant expect to have an easier go of it than the master? Why would we expect for them to get along with us when they didn't get along with our master? That's what he's saying. Why should we have it better than he did, is what he's telling us here. Okay, verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. That's what we have to really get a hold of and understand. You know why the hatred and the words and everything are directed at us? Because we're the ones that they can see. We're the ones that are telling them. But we didn't write the book, did we? I mean, they're directing it at us, and it's us that they hate, but they hate us because who we belong to. It's, you know what? It's very much like people who automatically dislike someone because of the color of their skin, or the city or the state that they're from, or the country that they're from. It's like someone who just automatically, before they find out, are you like the other people that I have met from that place? Do you believe the same way that the other people from your country do? Are you like the other ones that I have met? They just, you're from there. You must be like all the rest of them. Sometimes people have a problem with someone simply because of where they're from, or simply because of the family that they belong to. It's not a perfect illustration, but I say it to say this. Just the fact that you belong to the Savior is the only reason they need to hate you, because they hate our Savior. Man hates to confront his sin, and when a man comes up against someone who points out what the Bible says and he has to confront his sin, oftentimes that makes him mad. And it's funny how hateful people are when they tell us that we're being hateful. Now, what you're saying, that's hate. And they say with venomous lips. You know, when a man says that he's a preacher of God's word, but he's popular with the world, you better find another preacher. He says, but all these they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. The world hates believers because they hate our Savior. So if a man comes along, whether he's a preacher or whatever he is, claims to be a believer, and the world has no problem with him, there's our red flag. What's going on here? Why are you so accepted and loved by the world? Jesus said it wasn't supposed to be that way. You better find yourself another preacher. You can't preach God's word. You can't stand for God's word. You can't witness for God correctly and be everybody's friend. Stop trying. Have love, have compassion. As much as lieth within us, we need to live peaceably among men. We need to be peacekeepers. We need to do what we can. But we do not sacrifice or compromise the word. We do not sacrifice or compromise the word. He says in verse 25, this cometh to pass, the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Are you not as baffled as I am? Why would anyone hate Christ? Why would you hate Jesus Christ? There's no reason to hate Christ. He reveals to us the cancer of sin that eats away at us. He reveals to us our condemnation, and he doesn't leave us helpless. He reveals to us the answer, which is salvation in him. What is there not to love? I can understand having a problem with a doctor that says, here's what's wrong with you, and then he doesn't tell you what to do about it. Well, what do I do? I don't know, figure it out. I'm just telling you what's wrong with you. I'm going to go someplace else. Christ says, here's what's wrong with you. I'm the answer. What's not to love? What is not to love? Holiness? Righteousness? Joy? unspeakable peace, a shepherd, a protector, a comforter. You hate all those things? What's not to love? What is not to love in Jesus Christ? So why would people hate him? Because it's a terrible reality that in chapter 3, verse 19, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because man in his sinful state loves his sin and doesn't want to let go of it. Now, before I close, I want to make this comment here. It's kind of come up a few times through the sermon, but I want to address it specifically. I've said a lot about we need to be loving and compassionate and we don't go out looking for a fight. Too often, there are people who claim to be doing God's work who set out to see just how many people they can make mad and try to be hated by the world. Let me clarify that. I've seen and known preachers, and you have too, who have, it seems as though they've done everything they can. They are arrogant, they're pompous, they're mean, they're rude, and then when someone gets mad, they fall back on these verses. Well, you just hate me because you hate Jesus. When they're not acting like Christ to start with. No, preacher. In your case, it's because you're just a jerk. In your case, it's because you're just mean. You're just hateful. We know those people are out there. We know they are. We know there are people out there who abuse God's word and twist God's word and use it incorrectly and make enemies because of that. And then they turn around and try to claim, well, you're just mad because you're lost, or you're just mad because you don't love Jesus. We know those people are out there. We know those people are wrong. Christ didn't teach us those characteristics. God is love. Christ came to save us because he loves us. He preached in love, but he was also firm. And he stood for the truth. And he was hated by the world. You never find Christ going out looking for trouble. It found him. A born-again believer who's just trying to live for God and love people and tell them how to be saved doesn't have to look for trouble. It will find you. Don't go out looking for it. And don't blame every problem that you have with other people on, well, they just, a bunch of reprobates. Wait a minute, back up. Were you preaching it correctly? Are you right? Are you in line? Are you in God's will? If so, then maybe you're dealing with a bunch of reprobates. But it could be you're out of line too. We're to be peacemakers. We are to try to live peaceably with people. Love people and take them the gospel with compassion and want to see them saved, but we don't compromise God's word. Listen, that alone. You wouldn't think somebody would hate somebody like that, but they do. You don't have to go looking for trouble. You don't have to go looking for problems. We go back to living godly in Christ Jesus and suffering persecution. You don't have to go out tomorrow looking for a fight. Just go out tomorrow and live godly, and it'll find you. We don't go seeking it out. It's there. It's there. So in closing, let me ask these questions. Where do you stand with the world? Friend or enemy? Where do we stand? Are we in agreement with the world? Are we in opposition to the world because what we believe is the opposite of what they believe? Have we suffered at all for the word? Are we willing to suffer for the word, for Christ Jesus? Are we willing to be hated? Hey, none of us stands up and says, oh, I want to be hated. Would you please hate me? I love it when people hate me. No, we stand up and say, I love Christ Jesus. I'd love to see you get saved. If you hate me because of that, I'll just have to accept that. But I want Christ to be pleased with what I'm doing. What is our attitude? Where do we stand? The answers to these questions reveal what's going on in our hearts. If we find that it doesn't line up with God's word, then there's work to be done. Let me ask this of all of us. What changes must we make to be a friend of God and not a friend of the world? What changes do I need to make to be a friend of God and not a friend of the world? I believe the Holy Spirit convicts us in those areas and shows us, hey, right here, what are you doing trying to get along with them and make them happy with you? Don't you realize? God says, don't you realize I'm not happy with you about this? What matters? I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know where people are going to stand. I don't know if we'll be in a line. I don't know if we'll be in a great big crowd. I don't know. But I got a feeling that when we stand face to face with Him, when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, and when the lost stand before Him at the great white throne, I've got a feeling that no matter where everybody else is standing, each individual is going to be aware of two people, themselves and God. And they won't be aware of any. That's all that's going to matter, isn't it? That's all that's going to matter. So why would we stand there having lived a life where we cared more about what all of these think than what He thinks? I go back to it all the time. Who went to the cross for you? Who died for your sin? Come on, we need to quit fearing persecution. It's an evident token. It's proof that we're saved. It's proof that we're living godly. We don't have to go out looking for it. Go try to find a fight. But quit trying to avoid them. That's the thing. We don't have to go looking for fights, but quit trying to avoid them. Just stand up for God's word. Live for Him. Let's pray and sing our final hymn for the evening and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word, Lord. Just convict us with it. I know we've taken in a lot today. You've dealt with us on a lot of things today. Help us not to forget any of them. Help us to do business with You like we should. I pray that You do the work only You can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.